heart. We like to know about it. I have a free gift for you. Just contact us, email us. You can call our ministry, let us know who you are, and I'll get in touch with you personally. We bless you. We congratulate you, because if you've met the Messiah today, then you've begun the greatest journey life has to offer. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Everybody, come as you're ready.
Take me to a place I've never known before, to a deeper place. Take me through the chamber door, beyond the realm I've known, what things I've seen and heard. To
L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
are we doing? Message?
If you can play it. We saw a movie. Joshua and I went to see a movie. Oh, you do? I'll just pray. Never mind. Anyway, we went to see a movie earlier in the week, and I want to recommend it to you. It's called I Can Only Imagine. You can be seated. I took Joshua. Don was... I don't know where Dawn was. She was doing flight training in Charlotte last weekend, and Isaac was busy doing something. He's doing whatever Isaac does. Where was he? He was in Florida. Isaac went to Florida. He was doing something. Yeah, I took him to his camp. He goes to a Christian camp. There's a Christian camp called Camp Tapawingo in Watauga, Tennessee. If you know any children that need a place to go for summer camp, they have different events, 3-4 day events, week long events, and they happen to have a retreat where they drove on a Friday. They drove to southern Alabama to another camp, and then Saturday, they left Friday morning. They got to Alabama Saturday, Friday night, and then Saturday they went to the beach in Destin, Florida, and then they had chapel a couple times, and they had food at the camp, and then they Sunday they drove home from Alabama, and they came back home, and I picked them up, and that was the night Dawn got home. So me and Joshua were on our own, but Dawn, can I announce for you? All right. Well, Rebbitson, I'm not going to give great details, but she has accepted a job as an airline pilot. Sarah had a baby at 90, and I'm going to tell you something. Only in this particular time in history right now would a woman, who she's nowhere near 90, but even at... Even at her tender age of 27, only would a woman of her age get a job as a pilot. And there's a shortage. I don't know if you know this. There's a shortage of airline pilots in the country, in the United States. A tremendous. Even the military, you probably see the Air Force and the Navy advertising. They're even taking high school students. This is a great opportunity for high school students who want to fly to go join the Navy or the Air Force. Because if they have the ability, they can become pilots without a college degree. And that kind of scares me, but the good news is the planes that they're flying, you don't really have to do anything but watch them because they do all the flying themselves. That's the neat thing about it. But you do have to learn. It's really not that simple. You have to learn everything about the plane, and you have to study. You have to be smart. And so Dawn is going for intensive training. She'll be with us. She may miss here and there, but she'll be with us hopefully on Shabbats as much as she can. But May 31st, she goes for training for 3 months, and she's going to be flying an Embraer 145 jet, which is what you fly if you fly from like here to Atlanta or here to Charlotte or like a regional. That jet, she's going to be, you know, the two seats on each side. She'll be flying one of those, and she hasn't, you know, she we've got to pray for her because she's got a lot of work to do. But I've been, those of you who know me, I've been saying that Dawn was going to fly for 20 years. If you've known me, I've been saying she's going to fly for 20 years, that she'll fly jets, because she is a type. She's not the woman in Revelation 12 where it says the two wings of the eagle have been given to the woman to fly her people into the wilderness for time, times, and half a time. Of course, we know that woman is Israel. She represents the woman. She's a type. She's a forerunner, and she's been given the wings and the plane, and she will fly God's people, Jew and Gentile, into the promised land.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And I've been saying it. Diane was outside. Diane, have you ever heard me say that one day Don will fly jets again and fly people to Israel?
Yes.
Amen. Well, I was just telling the folks, and it's going to happen. It's actually happening. And Deborah, you've heard me say it, right? It's faith, and it's a word from the Lord that's coming to pass, and we're living it. Somebody dropped some sunglasses, and I'd like those. So I get to pick up whatever people leave, you know. So. All right. So all right, we're gonna time for the word, and word of God speak. Go see. I can only imagine. Very, very, very much worth seeing. Great movie. Isaac, tell me when we're on there. Isaac's putting us on Facebook, on my Facebook page for only my select Facebook friends, to my choice select few Facebook friends can watch the sermon live on Facebook. I'm just having fun with you. But we want to welcome the folks on Facebook. Shalom. Everybody say shalom.
Shalom.
Glad you're here today. Today's message is Luke 24:49. You are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. You are to stay in the city until you are clothed. Let's look at that for a second. Until you are clothed with power from on high. And you find that in Luke 24:49. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Okay, Luke 24:49. So let's start in verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "So it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the removal of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then Yeshua led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Shalom, because that's the only prayer a rabbi lifts his hands and blesses. And it's the prayer he gives, is the Aaronic benediction. And he blessed them. He's Jewish. He's the Messiah of Israel. And while blessing them, he departed from them and was taken up into heaven. After worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple praising God. But what's the key thing that Yeshua said to them? Stay in the city. Amen? Don't leave. Stay in the city until you be endued or clothed with power. Stay in the city. Now, where did this come from? I mean, he's 40 days out from his resurrection. All right? He's 40 days out. So what's 50 days out? Pentecost, Shavuot, right? He's 40 days out, and he tells them, stay for 10 more days, stay in Jerusalem, and don't leave. Amen? Because something's going to happen on the 50th day. Something big. Everybody say something big. Something big is going to happen on the 50th day. We call it Shavuot or Pentecost. Amen? And so, he knew it. I don't know that his disciples knew it. So let's go back for a moment to Leviticus 23 and find out why we're supposed to do it. And it says in Leviticus 23, verse 9, Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children, sons of Israel, and tell them, when you have come into the land which I give you and reap its harvest, and you are to bring the omer of the first fruits, the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest, to the priest, the high priest. He is to wave the omer before Adonai to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Shabbat, the Kohen is to wave it On the day when you wave the omer, you are to offer a male lamb without blemish, 1 year old, as a burnt offering to Adonai. The grain offering with it should be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to Adonai. For a soothing aroma, its drink offering with it should be 1/4 gallon of wine, and you are not to eat bread, roasted grain, or fresh grain until the same day, until you have brought the offering. And then he goes on, verse 15, then you are to count from the morning after the Shabbat, he's talking about at Passover, from the day that you brought the omer of the wave offering, we've been talking about the bread offerings for 2 weeks, so if you've been watching or you've been here, you should know about the grain offerings. I'm not going to go into it. He says, from the day that you brought in the wave offering, 7 complete Shabbatot, 7 Sabbaths, until the morrow after the 7th Sabbath, you are to count 50 days and then present a new grain offering. So, when was Passover this year? It was on Friday night it started, and Saturday. It was Friday and Saturday. And so, if you count 7 Sabbaths from the 30th or the 31st, you come to the Shabbat of the 19th of May. If you count 50 days, 49, sorry, if you count 7 Sabbaths, you get to the 19th of May is where it'll bring you. And in the Bible, that's in the 3rd month. So when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, remember they celebrated Passover. And if you read in Exodus 19, it says in the 3rd month. Everybody say in the 3rd month. That's when they went to Mount Sinai, and there was fire on the mountain, and voices, and they heard voices came down. God spoke in tongues of fire, and there was trumpets and thunder, and it was the first Shavuot that the children of Israel, and 3,000 died that day, because the Bible says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And in Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 were added that day. 3,000 were added in the new covenant. So, you know, the law came through Moses, but what came through Yeshua? Grace and truth. Amen? Grace and truth came through Jesus of Nazareth. Praise God. Okay. So, but he gave them a commandment, stay in the city. So he was 40 days out from the Sabbath. He knew, remember, he was sinless. What is sin? First John tells us sin is transgression of the law, of the Torah. Sin is transgression of the Torah. He was perfect. He was without sin. That meant he perfectly observed the Torah. He did everything that was required of him as a Jewish man perfectly. And so 40 days out, he knew that Shavuot was coming, a feast of Moses. If you think about Acts chapter 2, what were all those Parthians, Pamphylians, Pergians, Cretans, Arabs, people from Rome, Jews and proselytes, Libyans, Egyptians, Cappadocians? What were they all doing in Jerusalem? Jew and proselyte. Proselyte means ger. Remember, we said the word ger is a non-Jew who joins with the Jewish people, and so the ger, the proselyte. What were they doing in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2? They weren't there because of Jesus. Everybody say they weren't there because of Jesus. There was only 120 who were in an upper room. There were 120 in an upper room who were there specifically because their Lord commanded them and said, stay in the city until you be endued with power. Amen? Praise God. And so he gave them, what he was giving them a commandment. Was it a new commandment? Or was it an old commandment? When he was telling them to stay there for the feast, stay 50 days, be there on the 50th day. Go to Deuteronomy for a second. Hold your place in Leviticus. Go to Deuteronomy 16. Okay, Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times a year, all your males are to appear before Adonai your God in the place he chooses, at the feast of Matzah, at the feast of Shavuot, Pentecost, and at the feast of Sukkot. No one should appear before Adonai empty-handed, the gift of each man's hand according to the blessing Adonai your God has given you. So the commandment was there for all the Jewish males, and like my grandfather said, you know, if the men went, you know, and when it, my grandfather, I've told the story every week, when my grandfather, when his wife was brought into the nursing home when they got elderly, my Zadie, we called him Zadie, when he was told that his wife was going to the nursing home, his first words were, "Who will cook for me? Who will cook for me?" He was worried about who was going to cook his meals because he liked his wife's cooking. She used to burn everything. I love my Bubby. That's what we call my grandmother, Bubby. And I loved her chocolate chip cookies. She made the best chocolate chip cookies, but she always burned the bottoms. She burned everything on the bottom that she made, and she was famous for that. And my dad, one time, my mom made a chicken on a Friday night. She cooked a dinner, and she said, "Honey, what'd you think?" And he said, "Well, it's not burnt." He liked his mother's cooking. He was used to a little burnt, on having everything burnt on the bottom. All right. So the commandment, so if the men went to the feast, surely they took the women, right? They're not going to leave the women behind. And if they took the women, they took the kids, right? Then we see that later when we see Yeshua in Jerusalem for the feast and his whole family's there and they leave town and they forget Yeshua. 3 days they travel, and then the mama remembers, "Oh, where's my son? Where's Yeshua? That strange boy of mine who turned water into wine. Where did he go?" You know, and they went back to Jerusalem. You see, the whole family would go for the feast. So that's the way it is. Okay, all right, so number one, Yeshua gave his Talmidim, his disciples. Everybody say Talmidim. That's the word for disciples in Hebrew. It means students. A commandment or followers, but and students, but was it a new one? Was it a new commandment? Where did it come from? Well, I've just given you two places where it says in Leviticus 23, if you go to verse 1, "Then Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them, these are the appointed Moedim.'" These are the Moed. Everybody say Moed. That means appointed time or appointment. "These are the appointments of the Lord, which you are to proclaim to be holy convocations," or Mikre Kodeshim. Mikre means assembly. Kodeshim, we learned today, is today's Parsha, the holy ones. Amen? Mikre Kodeshim, holy convocations, holy ones. "These are to be holy convocations, solemn assemblies." So when you get together at a baseball game, that's a convocation, right? When you get together at a graduation, that's a convocation, right? People gather to go see a concert, that's a convocation. It's a gathering, an assembly. Amen? A synagogue is a gathering. An ecclesia is a gathering. But a holy ecclesia or a holy synagogue is synagogue or church. Amen? Synagogue, by the way, and a church, the word church is not really a good, it's not really what the word ecclesia means. Ecclesia really means assembly, congregation. Church comes from the Latin word, I believe it's kurios, and it has to do with the building, and that's a Catholic thing, okay? But the word ecclesia actually means the assembly, a more legitimate translation of it, or the congregation, and so does synagogue means an assembly. So the Romans used to have synagogues. The Romans would get together and have synagogues back in the time of Jesus, of Yeshua. They had synagogues. It didn't mean they worshipped Jewish style. It means they had gatherings. But a holy gathering, a holy convocation, a mikre kodesh. A holy convocation is when you come to worship God. When you come on the Sabbath, when you come on a wedding or a funeral, or when you come for a feast, when you come just to have prayer to the house of the Lord to worship God, that's a gathering, a holy convocation. Amen? So these, I've just read to you in Leviticus 15 that Shavuot is one of God's eight holy convocations. It's one of his eight appointments, right? Didn't we read that a few minutes ago? Okay. So he says, these are 8 days, eight festivals. You can read through it. You don't have to do it right now. There are eight festivals listed, and it's interesting. It's funny. When I read Christian books on the feasts, they always leave out, they say, the seven festivals of the Messiah or the seven feasts of the Lord. They leave out one. You know which one they leave out? Verse 3. Work may be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is a Shabbat of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You are to do no work. It is a Shabbat to Adonai and all your dwellings. I can always tell, and I'm not trying to bash or be mean or anything, but I can always tell when a non-Jewish person writes a book about the feasts, because they talk about the seven feasts and they don't talk about the Sabbath. How do you leave that out? It's the first thing God says. Keep the Sabbath. Amen? Keep the Sabbath. But if you don't keep the Sabbath, why would you write about it? If you don't have a revelation, has God opened your eyes about Shabbat? Raise your hand if he has. Has God opened your eyes about Shabbat? I'm going to get to this later. He hasn't done that for everybody. He hasn't opened everybody's eyes. Not everybody knows about Shabbat. Okay, so the commandment is an old commandment. When Yeshua said to his disciples 40 days out from Passover, stay in the city 10 more days until you be endued with power, right, which was on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, he knew he was giving them a very old commandment, a commandment of Moses. He was just reminding them, because they may not have thought about it. There was a lot going on. Everybody say, there's a lot going on. The Messiah had been crucified. He had risen from the dead. There was a lot of excitement going on. The believers people were being persecuted. People were gathering for worship. Things were going crazy in Jerusalem, right? Even the dead had risen when the Messiah was crucified. It said that some of the dead rose, people rose from the dead. I mean, things were going crazy in the city of Jerusalem at that time. There was an earthquake. You know, this was an unusual time. So they were a little shaken, okay? Number two, as we saw in today's Midrash that I said, the holy ones, there's a blessing for being holy and a curse for being unholy. Would you agree with that? There's a blessing for being holy. And being holy, as I said, isn't floating above the ground. It's not, you can't make yourself any more holy by doing anything than believing in the Messiah. You can't make yourself more holy than you already are. Do you know that? You can go out and lead 1,000 people to Jesus Christ. You can preach the gospel. You can be Billy Graham right now. Franklin Graham is over there in Johnson City in Freedom Hall. Not Franklin, Will Graham, Billy Graham's grandson, is doing a celebration this weekend. You can be Will Graham preaching to 5,000 people on Saturday night, and I recommend you go tonight. He's going to be there. I think it's a kids thing tonight, I'm not sure. But he's going to be there tomorrow too, tomorrow afternoon at 4, I think. But if you want to go see him, did anybody go last night? Anybody go see Will Graham? Okay. Well, anyway, you know, you can be Will Graham, the grandson of Billy Graham, and you can preach the gospel in a stadium with 5,000 people, and 1,000 people can come forward for an altar call and get saved. Amen? 1,000 people, stay with me, guys. 1,000 people can get saved. Does that make him any more holy than you? No. Holiness doesn't mean I led 10,000 people to the Lord. Holiness means God has set me apart for him. I belong to God. The widow who gave 2 mites or 1 mite, she was just as holy as Paul. Do you understand that? She was just as holy to the Lord. She was so precious. He said of her, this woman will be remembered throughout all generations. People are cold. You want to turn it up to 70? Turn it up a degree? Don, just punch it to 70. So holiness isn't about, you can't make yourself any more holy than you already are. Isn't that good to know? People don't understand that concept. They think, if I fast, and if I'm really good, and I fast, and I tell people about Jesus, which is good things to do. Fasting is good. Telling people about the Lord is good. And I read my Bible, and I do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm not a slacker. I'm going to be more holy to God. No, the believer who's backslidden and is taking heroin and living in the gutter is just as holy as you are. They're just not, they're backslidden and they're not walking with the Lord. They need help. They're holy, but they just need help. All right, number 3. We also saw that the children of Israel were God said he would remove them from the land. Remember, if they worshipped Molech, if they gave their children as sacrifices to Molech, he warned them. He said, if you don't obey my commandments, and if you practice idolatry, and if you follow the ways of the Canaanites and the peoples that are in the land before you, if you follow their ways and go after their gods, and you give your children to Molech, you burn them in the fire, which is like abortion today, I will spit you out of this land. God said that. That's in the Parsha today. You can read it in Kedoshim. God promises, I will boot you from the land. Amen? But if you turn to Isaiah chapter 1, this is such a beautiful verse. I can find... Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Verse 19. If you are willing and obey, you will eat the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of Adonai has spoken. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, who are you refusing? The Lord. Right? You're refusing the Lord. But if you listen to the Lord and you don't rebel against God or his servants, you will be blessed. You'll eat the fat of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of Adonai has spoken. It's very simple. If we listen to God through his word, through his servants, through whichever way he chooses to speak to us, sometimes God can use a song. You can be listening to WCQR. Sometimes God even uses a secular song. He spoke to Balaam through a donkey. Amen. God can speak to you any way He wants. And I've had God speak to me through secular radio. Just amazing, you know, how God chooses to speak to you. But my sheep hear my voice and they know me. And I can tell the word of the voice of the Lord wherever, whichever way He chooses to speak to me. And praise the Lord. All right. So, when we obey God, there's a blessing. When we're disobedient, there's a curse. You all agree with that? God curses. Okay, let me give you an example. Let's take it to modern times. The Bible says avoid the appearance of impropriety. Avoid even the appearance of impropriety. So if you live together with a woman and you're not married, you know, you may not even be having you may be you know, totally, what's the word I'm looking for, platonic, not intimate, okay? But if you live with a woman, people are going to think and people are going to talk, right? People like to talk. Oh man, that's good preaching. Don't they? People love to talk. I don't know, maybe I'm in a different neighborhood than you, but where I live, people like to talk. Man, do they talk. They talk and they talk and they talk. Man, one guy was complaining about, I heard a guy told me the other day about a guy complaining about something that a dinner party 11 years ago where something took place. It didn't have anything, wasn't my anything to do with me. I just was witness to it. And it was a dinner party, and this guy was complaining about what went on at the dinner party 11 years ago. I mean, who cares? It was minor. It was just ridiculous. You know, it's stupid. You know, complaining about what happened, you know, I mean, using it as a lesson to teach something that happened 20 years ago, that's fine. You know, but if you're just whining and complaining about something that happened, somebody stepped on my foot intentionally 20 years ago, get over it. Amen? Get over it. You know, somebody drove into my car 25 years ago. Get over it. Move on. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay. So general commandments versus individual commandments. I think that discernment, God told Noah to build an ark. Did He tell you to build one? God gave a commandment to Noah to build an ark. Did God tell you to build one? Raise your hand if He did. I'd like to find out. I'd like to buy some wood with you. God told Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac, his son, his only son. Did He tell you to take your kid up a mountain and take a big hunting knife and put the kid on an altar, build an altar and set a fire and cut the kid in pieces and sacrifice him to God? Or did He tell Abraham, right? God told the rich young man in the New Testament to sell all his possessions and give away all of his belongings to the poor and follow Yeshua. It said that the man had much property, many belongings, and he couldn't do it. Is God telling you, because God told that young man, that you should sell all your possessions, all your earthly belongings, and give them away to the poor and follow Yeshua? Just because He told that guy? Amen. You guys are smart. I can't fool you. No. He's not telling you to do that. Now, I know people who have. I know people who took that commandment to the young man, and people who had some wealth, and they gave everything away. And you know where they ended up? Broke. Living in government housing, living on the dole, living in government housing, miserable, poor, and angry with God. Because if God doesn't tell you to do something, I don't care how good it is. If God isn't telling you to do it, don't do it. It doesn't matter what you think is good. You know, this is an issue that people have. I'm a good person. How many of you heard that? People say, I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven. Even the Pope said this to a little boy. There's a video going around on Facebook. Last week, the Pope met a little boy, or 2 weeks ago, a little boy ran up to the Pope, and he got a visit. He got an audience with the Pope, and he told the Pope that his father died, and his father was an atheist, but his father baptized his 3 or 4 children. And so he asked his father if his son, if he asked the Pope if his father was in heaven. And the Pope said, your father was a good man because he baptized his children. So because of that, the Pope said he's in heaven. I don't know how the kid, what the kid thought about that, but I'll tell you what I think. I think the Pope needs to read the Bible. I think the Pope needs to study the Bible. The Bible says there is no other way to the Father except through the Son. Only through faith in Yeshua of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, can anybody go to heaven. Whoever confesses that Yeshua is Lord and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead shall be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's only one way to heaven, and that is belief. God made it very simple. If you believe in the Son of God and you call on his name, the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus, you call on his name, you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen? It's simple. That's all you have to do. You don't have to build a college of business, and you don't have to build a building. You don't have to build a heart center in some hospital. You don't have to build a cancer wing. You don't have to give money to some charity to have your name on a plaque. You don't have to give your money there's no good deed. There's no good work. There's no charitable thing that you can do. Paul Newman's, may his soul rest in peace, hopefully, but his pretty good salad dressings say, well, we've given $250 million to charity or whatever, $300 million, I don't know how much they are at now. You know, all our after-tax profits go to charity. And, you know, we've given this much money. But if it isn't given in the name of Yeshua, if whatever you do isn't in the name of Yeshua and at his commandment, then it's like filthy rags, God says. In Isaiah, he says, all of your good deeds are like filthy rags to the Lord. And really what he's talking, it really means minstrel cloths. That's what it means. All of your good deeds are as filthy rags to the Lord. You can't do anything good to get you into heaven. Now, does that mean you shouldn't do anything for God? No. Do what God tells you to do. But you have to discern. What is God telling me to do? A person who gives away all their wealth because the rich young man was told to do it that and he didn't do it. Person who gives away what they can't, you can't help anybody. Peter left everything to follow the Lord. He didn't give it away. Kept his house, kept his wife, probably his mother-in-law and his father and their family took care of the wife. And, you know, I don't know how he took care of his family, but he went off to follow Yeshua, but he didn't sell everything. Amen? Be wise. We're called to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. So we have to have discernment. God told Noah, he's not telling you to build an ark. Amen. Many people struggle to discern what applies to them today versus in the time of Moses, Abraham, or Paul. You know, many people say that there's healing isn't for today. I don't believe that. If God doesn't heal, what's the point of believing? You know, if God just saved, it would have been enough, Dayenu. If God just saves us and didn't heal us, Dayenu, it would have been enough. But I've seen great healings here in this congregation. I've seen backs healed. I've seen knees healed. Who can think of different healings? I've seen fevers healed. I've seen colds healed. I've seen a little girl wilted like a flower come on a Wednesday night with a fever, and we laid hands on her, and God commanded the fever to leave, and the fever left her body, and she went off and played with the kids, and the fever never came back. That's a miracle of Jesus. He did the same miracle for Peter's mother-in-law, and the whole city came to him. And you know what I said to the congregation when that happened? I said, you know why? The difference is between the miracle Jesus did and the miracle that happened here, nobody here went out and told the rest of the city. So they didn't show up looking for miracles. But God still heals here. Amen. Somebody got healed just a few weeks ago, got prayed for, was sitting over there, and got, I think it was Leah or something, got healed. Her back, you know. God still heals, and he does it here. You know, we've seen thousands of healings here over the years. All right, let's go on. In today's Parsha and Haftorah, in Ezekiel 20, we see that God still expects us to practice certain. Turn to Ezekiel 20. This is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible because it tells you what's going to happen in the end time. I'm not going to read that part, but I encourage you to read this chapter all the way through. But I'm going to just read part of it. In Ezekiel 20, on the 10th day of the 5th month of the 7th year, some of the elders of Israel came to seek Adonai. They sat before me. The word of Adonai came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, Thus says Adonai Elohim, have you come to inquire of me as I live? It is a declaration of Adonai. I will not be inquired of by you. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Make them know the detestable practices their fathers say to them. Thus says Adonai Elohim, on the day I chose Israel, I lifted up my hand to the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt. I lifted my hand to them, saying, I am Adonai your God. On that day I lifted up my hand to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into the land that I had sought for them, flowing with milk and honey, the splendor of all lands. I said to them, each of you must throw away every detestable thing from his eyes and not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am Adonai your God. But they rebelled against me and were unwilling to listen to me. None of them cast away the detestable things that were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. So I resolved to pour out my fury upon them, or my wrath, to expend my anger upon them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for the sake of my name to keep it from being profaned in the eyes of the nations where they were, in whose sight I made myself known to them to bring them out from the land of Egypt. So I led them out from the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my Torah. I taught them my judgments, which if a man does, he will live by them. I also gave them my Shabbatot. Oh, I also gave them my Sabbaths, my Shabbatot. Not just the weekly Sabbath. When he says Shabbatot, he says the feasts. Okay? I gave them my Shabbatot, including this Pentecost, which is coming, as a sign between me and them so that they would know that I am Adonai who made them holy. So we are to keep his feasts as a sign and Shabbat We're to keep Shabbat and come together as a convocation, as a sign to the world that we are holy. Your being here today is a sign to the world that you're holy to the God of Israel. How do you like that? There's no other sign. The only sign God says, besides believing in Yeshua, that you're holy, is that you keep His Sabbaths and show up. 90% of serving God is showing up. Especially when God tells you to. Amen. Verse 13, but the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They rejected my judgments, which if a man does, he will live by them. They greatly profaned my Sabbaths. Then I resolved to pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But for the sake of my name, I did what would keep it from being profaned in the eyes of the nations in whose sight I had brought them out. Yet I also lifted my hand to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them flowing with milk and honey, which is the splendor of all lands. For they rejected my Torah, did not walk in my rulings, and profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, my eyes spared them from destruction, so I did not make a full end of them in the wilderness. You see, God is ticked off. He goes on, he said, in verse 18, I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers. Do not keep their ordinances. Do not defile yourselves with their idols. I am Adonai, your God. Walk in, hallelujah, walk in my statutes, keep my ordinances and do them. Keep my Sabbaths holy so that they will be a sign between me and you, like a wedding ring, an oath, a sign, like a wedding ring, that you may know that I am Adonai, your God. Come to the feast. Come celebrate Shabbat. Come, you watching on Facebook. If come here, come wherever you are. If there's a place, a Messianic congregation, go wherever you live. Come if you can. If you can't, watch. Fine, do the best you can. You know, if you have to work, you're called into work and you have to work that day, go to work. But pray, God, give me off the Sabbath. Amen. If you have a sick mother or father or husband to take care of, or you're sick, oh, take the day off if you can't make it. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil's going to fight you from coming to Shabbat. The devil's going to fight you from coming to his feast. The devil's going to fight you, and you've got to fight back. Amen. You've got to fight to get to Shabbat. You've got to fight to overcome legalistic traditions of denominational Christianity, to get out of denominational Christianity. And if you can't worship on Saturday, you need to. And I say this to Messianics, if you can't worship on Sunday because you're so holy, and Sabbath, you know that Sabbath is the right day. You need to go worship on Sunday just to experience, you know, to be free. Because you're free to worship on Sunday and you're free to celebrate Shabbat. But if you know what Shabbat means, you're going to come. If you understand it, you're going to do it. Amen? They need to know, and you know what? You need to tell them. You can't leave it to the rabbi. You need to invite people. You need to explain in the coffee room, when you're out with friends. Show them the scriptures. Take them to Ezekiel 20. Explain it to them. That this is the sign that you're holy to God. How awesome is that? All right, let's finish up here. So, verse 21, but the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes. They did not keep my ordinances to do them, which if a man does, he will live by them. They profaned my Sabbaths. Then I resolved to pour out my fury on them, to expend my anger on them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withheld my hand for the sake of my name. What's God saying? He said in verse 23, he says, I also lifted up my hand to them in the wilderness to scatter them among the nations and disperse them through the countries, for they had not obeyed my my ordinances, but had rejected my statutes and profaned my Sabbaths. Their eyes went after their father's idols. I also gave them statutes that were not good. So he's not just talking about being in the land. He's talking about doing it in the exile, in the wilderness. Where are we? We're in the wilderness. We're in the exile. And God's saying, keep my Sabbaths. Even in the exile, keep my Sabbaths. Do what pleases me. This is the sign of my holiness. This is the oat. The oat is the wedding ring, the engagement ring. It's the symbol between me and my bride to be. The Sabbaths of the Lord are the token, the engagement ring, saying you are my bride. And how many people out there believe there is bride and they don't have a clue about the Sabbath or any of his Sabbaths? God help them. They're going to have to stand before him one day. And you know, if I can understand this, and I'm not the brightest bulb, they can understand it. Do you understand it? Yes. Amen. Amen. If you understand it, and I understand it, and they read the same Bible we read, right? How come they don't understand it? Because they're bound in bondage by their Christian denominational traditions that keep them locked up, tied up, gagged and bound, hogtied, and stuck in traditional Sunday Catholic Christianity. That's where it comes from. Roman Catholic Christianity. That's where, and no offense to my Catholic friends, but that's where it comes from. That's the truth. I say it with love, but it's true. They're in bondage. Come celebrate Shabbat. If you're watching and you're not Jewish and you either don't have a church or you go on Sunday and God's calling you, and I'll give you a verse to back that up. Okay, so anyway, number four, the focus of today's message is when, where, and why. When are we to gather for Shavuot? Pentecoste, 50 days. 50 days from the Sabbath at Passover, right? Pentecoste, Shavuot, seven Sabbaths after the Sabbath, the day after the seventh Sabbath. It says, on the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you are to celebrate a feast, Shavuot, a feast of weeks. Amen? Read Leviticus 23. Okay. So that's when. Where are we to gather for Shavuot when we're in the exile? We don't have a temple. We don't offer sacrifices. We keep the Torah in spirit and truth. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Amen? The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So when we're in the wilderness, we can't gather at the temple, but we can still have a holy convocation. Amen? We can still gather and celebrate his Sabbath, as he says, together in a holy convocation in the house of the Lord. God provided this. This is a house of the Lord that we celebrate the Sabbath in. God provided it. I didn't build it. You know, I can agree with President Obama on this one. He said, you didn't build that. Yeah, you're right. I didn't build this. President Obama, former president, shadow president. No, just kidding. I'm a wise guy. Maybe I'm telling the truth. I don't know. Anyway, let's go on. I don't want to go down that one. Anyway, number C, why are we to gather for Shavuot and for Shabbat or any other time God commands us to have a Mikre Kodesh, a holy convocation? Why should we do it? Because we're obedient to God. Amen? Obedience brings blessing. If we're obedient and willing and obedient, we will eat the fat of the land. If we rebel and resist, we will die by the sword. Why is America going to fall? Because a house divided against itself will not stand, and a nation, a kingdom divided against itself will not stand, and half the nation is fighting the God-ordained president of the United States of America. How do I know he's God-ordained? Read Romans 13. All governing authorities come from God. And any authority or governing authority that exists, whether it's the king, the governor, whatever, the bishop, whoever, all governing authorities are from God. So the president of the United States, whether you like him or not, whether he has a past, whether he's a good boy, it's not about how good he is. Cyrus was king, and he rebuilt the temple, but I don't know if Cyrus was a good boy. Probably had a harem. Amen? Joseph's Pharaoh was a nice guy. Was he a pagan? You betcha. Moses had a nasty Pharaoh. Was he a pagan? Oh, yeah. He was a pagan. Was Herod a good guy? He was the king of Israel. He built the temple. He built all kinds of things. He built fortresses and palaces that you can still go see. But Herod was a miserable wretch. Amen? Was Caesar a good guy? He built the Roman roads, so the Roman emperors built the Roman roads so that the gospel could travel through the civilized world. Without that, they wouldn't have traveled so easy. Thank you for the Romans, God, for what they did. But they were pagans. And if our president is a pagan, doesn't mean he's not from God. It just means he's like a leader like any other one, like John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, Jimmy Carter, who lusted in his heart. He's just like any other man who was president. FDR had an affair, defeated the Germans. Praise God. Now, there were good guys who loved their wives, presidents in the United States. Harry Truman, as far as we know. George Bush. George Herbert Walker Bush. There have been good presidents, Gerald Ford. And as far as we know, we don't know anything about Richard Nixon doing that kind of stuff. But then there's been Jimmy Carter, just he did it in his heart. I love that. Only a Christian would say that. I lusted in my heart. Praise God. All right. So we said when we're supposed to gather for Shavuot, 50 days. Where are we to gather? In the house of the Lord. We're supposed to still do it in exile for Sabbath, for God's Sabbaths. Why are we to gather for Shavuot? Because obedience brings blessings. Obeying God, what did it bring? When they were disobedient on Shavuot and they built the golden calf, 3,000 died. Why? Because of disobedience. Because of idolatry. 3,000 died. On Shavuot in Acts chapter 2, on Pentecost, they listened to Peter's sermon and they repented. They didn't build a golden calf. And 3,000 got saved and baptized. Amen? Same holiday, but very different outcome based on their response to God. I'm almost done. What if your life and protection? Why are we called to gather? Why is it so important to gather? Why not just have Shabbat in your house? Why not just do Shabbat? Or why not just do Pentecost in your backyard? Have a cookout. Invite the neighbors. Why not just do it yourself and not go to the house of the Lord? Why is it important? Well, what if your life and protection depended on it? What if disaster was to come? What if tornadoes came on that day and you were in the house of the Lord for the feast? And tornadoes came and blew down your house where you live, but you were in the house of the Lord celebrating his feast because you obeyed God's commandment to do it. And yeah, you went home and found out your house got wiped out, but you're still alive. Houses can be replaced. God told Noah, build an ark, and then he said, he gave him a day and said, get in the ark, right? What if keeping the Sabbath was an ark of deliverance? What if keeping God's feast was an ark of deliverance? Maybe not today, but maybe one day. Maybe one day you'll come and you'll walk out. You know, I was preaching in a church 22 years ago. I was in Sanford, Florida, preaching in a Baptist church. And I said, I gave an invitation. And I said, today is the day of salvation. You don't know when you walk out the door if you'll get hit by a car crossing the street. You don't know what'll happen to you. You may not have another chance to accept the Lord. Accept him today. Come to Yeshua. Come to Jesus today. I was at Second Baptist Church in Sanford, Florida in 1998 or 99. And you know what happened that night? Tornadoes came through. 40 tornadoes, several tornadoes. 40 people died in Sanford and Daytona. 40 people. You can look that up in the records. The tornadoes that killed 40 people that night. It was a Sunday night back in Sanford and Daytona, Florida in 1998 or 9. I can't remember which one, but I think it was 98. I think it was 1998 in Sanford, Florida. Don and I were sleeping and we were in somebody's home and we slept like babies. And we woke up and there was all this destruction. And we went to see where the destruction was. Horrible. I preached it that morning. You don't know what'll happen when you walk out of here. Obey God. Be holy. Be in the house of the Lord on his Sabbaths. Unless you have sickness, unless you have a loved one, like people have parents to take care of and nobody else to help them, okay, there's grace. But if you can be in the house of the Lord, if you can get out of work, if you can get out of bed, if you're sick, if you've got, you know, a sore throat or whatever, just tell people, don't get near me, I'm not feeling well, whatever. But if you can, if you're well enough to get going, or if you just have a cough or something, sit over there, stay away, tell people, just, you know, keep your distance from me, but come to the house of the Lord. Amen? That's why we gather. Because your life may depend on it. And then what if there's a visitation like the one in Acts chapter 2? You know, you can have, there were 1,400 or so Pentecosts before Acts chapter 2. That was about 1,400 years after the Messiah, after the first one in the wilderness from Moses. It took 1,400 years for the visitation of Shavuot, of Pentecost. But you know what? Those people, those Parthians, Pamphylians, Pergians, Medes, Elamites, Egyptians, Cappadocians, Romans, proselytes, Jew and Gentile, they came. Faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful to do what God says. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop doing what you know to be true. Amen? Conclusion. It can save your life. Noah's Ark. Sometimes obeying God, being in the right place at the right time, can save your life. And if you, this is a practice. This is like a fire drill. One day, this may very well save your life. And I'm telling it straight. Conclusion. We will gather here on May 20th at 4 p.m. for the day of Shavuot, a day of Pentecost service at 4 p.m. I urge you to pray leading up to the meeting. For those who are strong enough to fast, I urge you to fast. And if you want to do a three-day fast, if you want to do a two-week juice fast, whatever the Lord leads you to do. But if you're strong enough and you're able to fast, I ask you to do that. For those of you who are capable of fasting, I have fasted as long as 2 weeks in my life and just drank juice and soup, broth at night, and just, you know, done that. Several times in my life, I've fasted for 2 weeks at a time. If you want to do a three-day fast, whatever you can do, but if you're strong enough to fast, I urge you to do it and pray. That's what the disciples did before the day of Pentecost. And I guarantee God will show up. It may not be like Acts 2, but I guarantee you that he will bless your obedience. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of his Torah." Isn't that awesome? That's why I'm saying you have the revelation of Shabbat, and so it belongs to you. Say, it belongs to me. You have the revelation of his feasts. It belongs to you. Deuteronomy 29:29, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belongs to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law." How blessed are you who have the revelation of the things of God, because not everybody does. They think they do, just because they know Jesus Christ. But there's a lot more. That's just a start. Paul talks about being on milk at your salvation. He talks about the gospel as the milk of the word. That's what he says. Study it. Then he goes on to talk about the meat of the word. I meet people all the time. They're drinking a lot of milk out there. They're drinking a whole lot of milk. 1%, 2%, 4%, lactose-free, almond milk, coconut milk, soy milk, all kinds of milk out there, not a lot of meat. Yeshua's command to stay in the city was not new. It came from Moses in Leviticus 23. What was new was the coming of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the beginning, not the beginning of the church. It was not the beginning of the church. It was the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 was not the beginning of the church. It doesn't say that. But what it really was the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. Because it goes on, you start seeing Gentiles coming in after that. After the Pentecost, God opened up what was only for the Jew. Jesus himself said, he said to the Gentile lady, he said, you know, the woman up in Tyre and Sidon or wherever she was, he said, it's not fitting to give the children's food to the dogs. And she said, "Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs from under the master's table." He continually said, "I've only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He didn't go to the Gentiles. He sent us. He started with Jewish guys. He sent a bunch of Jewish guys out to the Gentiles to bring in the Gentiles. Paul had to give an account in Acts chapter 15 at the Jerusalem Council. He had to give an account for his activities among the Gentiles, right? Am I right? Didn't he? Read Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council. Paul had to give an account to the leaders, to James, and to the council of his works among the Gentiles, because the times of the Gentiles had begun. Somebody get happy. Anybody want to do a happy dance? I sent Isaac a guy doing a happy dance. He's laughing. All right. Please stand. I want to bless you. And the Lord said, "We're going to have. Oh, do we have Oneg? Is there Oneg over there? Huh?
Yes.
Yes, there is. Okay, we have Oneg. We're going to go have a quick Oneg, and then we're going to have a brief meeting and make it as brief as possible. so. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you should put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace. God bless you all. Friends online watching us live stream, God bless you. Friends on Facebook, Shabbat Shalom, God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Like us on Facebook. Shabbat Shalom.